in two sessions, because that would mean about 34, 35 people at once. And so, you know, we would do the big turkey and big ham tots, yeah. And sometimes if I didn't have time, some of the wives who were better bakers than I would say, I'll do the tots, yes, for you. I was very grateful for that. And so we would have and throughout the year, and we had, for example, we had ambassadors from, you know, NATO. We would invite some of them, the ones we knew, the Canadian ones, and then the British ones, and everyone that would come from Canada, including generals and Lord. We had a Lord one time, and you do what is necessary, and but you did provide you with the help. You see, and every time I had a dinner party or a lunch or something like that, we often had lunches if we had dignitaries coming, and you know, we would take care of the wives and have lunches and take them sightseeing and that sort of thing. And, but they provided you with help. It was very few things were. You always knew ahead of time what who was coming and what when you would have to do something, so you could plan. And I had, when I entertained, I had a cook, and it was a couple who would come. And she would do the cooking and we would do the serving. And, so it was, it made it easy, you know, but, because you did a lot of it. And, you were out or entertaining 3-4 nights a week. So after a while it gets tiring, but it, in the summer, it, you know, people took holidays, and so we didn't have that much to do.
Was money ever an issue, or did the government?
The government paid for your official entertainment. Mm-hmm. Now, by official, I mean when it relates to NATO. And when we were having the Canadians, we paid for them. But that was our choice. But whatever other duty was necessary, because, you know, when you're in such a position, it involves everyone, and you need to get to know them. You know, it facilitates my husband's position and the work he's doing, because he knows everyone well. He's had them at his house. And, so, you know, everything that was official duties, the government gave us an allowance, and that was paid that way. Everything that was Canadian or what we wanted to do, aside from that, we paid ourselves.
And when you moved, for all of your alternate moves, did you often have to move by yourself, or was your husband always there to help you?
Actually, I think it wasn't. I think the only move that I did by myself, or started by myself, because it was when my husband was came back from Syria after me. And we had sold the house, and I think he arrived and we left the next day or something like that. But it was not a problem, because first of all, when you move anywhere, my husband had given me the names of the people to contact at the base. I was in living in Montreal, in Belle Oeil, and the base was in Saint-Hubert, which is half an hour. And so I phoned and said that we would, after we had received the posting, that we would, I would like a group of people to help me move. We plan to move that day, and so, because, you know, that's always when you take your holidays in the military, they post you and they give you the date you're supposed to arrive there. So you can, and you got 2 weeks, I think, holiday. So we did that, and they would, of course, they pay for the packers to come, and packers do all the work, and then they move you, take your things, and you're left with a dirty house, but it's empty. And so, and also, when you were in quarters, when you're in military quarters and they leave you, you must leave the quarter impeccably. And at the beginning of my husband's career, we had to clean ourselves, but afterwards they gave us an allowance. I know that when I was in Europe, we had an allowance to do that, especially in Belgium. So that was a great relief, because you're trying to pack, you know, wait for the packers to come, and then you have to clean the house before you go to the hotel. And so, but that was a detail, you know. You knew you expected it, so it just part of it.
Did you ever have a job outside of the military?
Like not that I recall. In Ottawa, I worked in Fredericton. I worked in Fredericton when we first got there, before we had the children, for a year and a half. Aside from that, I worked, when did I work again after that? In Ottawa. At least, you know, my husband was on the, French language group, I think so. But I had no recall of working in Ottawa. But it was difficult, you know, because you come with your resume and they say, oh, you move often, eh? And in those days, it wasn't like today where young people change jobs all the time, because that's, they expected you, if they hired you, that you were going to stay there for 5-6 years. And every 2 years I got, so, I think we chose that I wouldn't work. The only time I could have worked was in Montreal, and I did work there part-time. But, when you're moving all the time, and you're there 2 years, after a while you say, there's no point. And so, after the children left, well, we went to Europe, you know, we went to Rome, and then we went to Belgium, and so there was not many occasions, but it's different now, you know, it can be allowed for that, I'm sure, but it just wasn't the thing you thought of doing those things.
Do you identify yourself as a military person? Do you identify strongly with the military as being a really important part of your life?
Oh, absolutely, mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, it was a part of the important part of my life. Mm-hmm. And that's probably the greatest part of my life was being in the military. Not I, but my husband, mm-hmm. being a military wife. Mm-hmm.
And you see the military as being positive?
Oh, greatly so. Yeah, greatly so. I look back and I would not have wanted any other life. I think that we were fortunate, and I think that we were certainly well looked after by our officers, by our government, and it wasn't always, some places you moved and you didn't get an allowance, and instead, you know, it was an expensive city, so you know that these years it would be a little bit more difficult, and you were praying that you'd be moved soon, but, that's part of life. I love the military. If I had to do it all over again, I would. And you know, I think I didn't realize that when you said that I know about the military, well, I did not at the time. I only had my sister, that was my first experience with the military. But my daughter married a young officer whose father was also in the military. So, and our children, our grandchildren, have two grandfathers and a father who were in the military. So I guess it's... It's interesting, and our grandson, who's 14, has already decided that he's going to join the military and go to the military college.
Oh, wow.
I hope. For us, it was a very good life.
Mm-hmm. When you married your husband, what was your family's reaction? Did they view it as a positive thing in your marrying into the military?
I don't think they knew anything about the military. Mm-hmm. They knew because my sister had married, and I think they were living in, where did they go? I can't recall. Anyway, they lived close enough to our parents that, you know, there was no difference. And suddenly, they were sent to Europe. Mm-hmm. And so this was a big revelation. And at the time, they had a positive view of my sister being married to a military officer. And so they thought that was fine.
And when you married your husband, he was an officer?
Yes. He's the second lieutenant.
What surprised you the most about the military? Based on sort of the ideas that you had about the military or the army, what most surprised you about being part of that?
I don't think there were many great surprises. I was so ignorant of the military when I first married my husband that, you know, I just married him because I loved him, and that happens to be his work. You just meet friends very easily. It becomes a very close community, mm-hmm. especially when you're in Europe, as I explained. You help each other out. You realize that there are some things that are not as pleasant as you would have happened. I think the biggest issue in the whole thing was that you were, if you spent as much time in Europe as we did, it was the only disadvantage was that you couldn't get in the housing market, whereas people who were posted to Ottawa and were there several years then had that advantage where that they could buy a house as they were younger, you see. Mm-hmm. And aside from that, there were no great big surprises. I think you just get into the mold and you know what you were doing, you know.
What does home mean to you? Because you moved so often and you don't house for very long. So what does home mean?
Home
to
is
you?
My family.
Mm-hmm.
And they feel the same, you felt the same way, you know. And it was, home is my family, but you know, my case, anyway, after being someplace, we become a bit of vagabonds, because after being somewhere for 2 years, you were kind of ready to move on. Now you had seen what was happening there, you'd known the town or the base and all that, and you'd say, oh, well, now, you know. So, yes, that's how it was. That's how it was.
Did your children have any problems with the moves?
No.
No?
We were very fortunate because some children had, you know, I know that we had friends whose children did have difficulties. But for whatever reason, it didn't happen to us. Interestingly enough, my son never wanted to move once he was somewhere, he would be settled. Mm-hmm. And my daughter always wanted to move. And now it seems to be the opposite. My daughter is, you know, does not like, well, she doesn't mind it, but, and my son would be prepared to go anywhere he wants. But it was interesting that you just knew, that's the way of life you had chosen. And so you knew that what to expect. And there were better postings than others, but by far, we certainly enjoyed every posting we had.
So if you needed to get assistance or from the military, what was available to you and how did you access it?
Okay, if you are in trouble,
mm-hmm.
first thing you do is you phone your husband if he's there. If he's away, you phone, there's an adjutant or mm-hmm. someone, you phone the number for the base, and whoever asks, you say, I would like to talk to the senior officer on the base. You see? So in other words, you're asking to speak to someone that will help solve your problem. And so you explain what the problem is, and they will send, in my experience, they've always sent someone to the house to see what they could do for you.
And so you had to do that? At some point you had to call the base?
Personally, only once in Montreal.
Mm-hmm.
And we happened to have a friend who was there, and he was a high-level officer. And my husband was still in Syria, and you know, the bureaucracy, I was wanted to move that date, but you don't have, I didn't have the papers. Of course I didn't have the papers, you know. My husband was in Syria, he wasn't going to be there if he can't sign it, you know. So the young officer, I think, was inexperienced anyway. I said, very well, thank you, and then I phoned my friends and I said, how do you expect us to move? If somebody does. So immediately afterwards, the young officer called back and said, I'm sorry, I didn't realize it. So that was, but people are wiser. I don't think that we were intimidated or shy about phoning if we needed help. Or else you phone your best friend and you say, what do I do? You know, and she'll say, well, I'll talk to my husband if he's here. So. And we had to do that because all of us were in the same boat, you see.
Mm-hmm.
If you needed help, there was always a place to fall. So And they were, in my experience, as I see, they were very good about it. I recall one of my neighbors, her husband was in the Middle East, and she was home along with four children, and her fence broke down, and she had dogs and cats and dogs, two big dogs running into the backyard, and her children were afraid, and they would always come in. So she phoned. She talked to my husband, who was, we were living next door, and she said, I have a problem. So he took care of me and said, this is what you, what are they going to do? They said, they're not going to leave the poor woman alone with four children, feels frightened. And so they did help. You know, they came, sent people to repair her gates or fence so that things would take away the problem.
Do you think that perceptions about the military have changed a lot since you were actively involved?
Well, I can tell you that in our years in the military, this military was certainly not very well seen or loved at all.
Mm-hmm.
It was, we felt that they would have, the population of Canada would have gladly done without us. They didn't seem to realize what our men were doing. But now, I think it's changed very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and I think that's because of the war. And they're getting a better idea of what our soldiers do and how brave they are.
Did you ever have any problems with people taking or expressing that sentiment to you personally about the military?
I don't recall. There probably was, but in an interesting moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're entitled to their ideas. I always felt that, you know, when trouble comes, they love the military. When peacetime is there, it's not so interesting.
So, is there anything else you'd like to tell me?
No, I just, other than, as you know by now, that we loved our time in the military.
Mm-hmm.
We were certainly well taken care of. It's almost a better, it's, I'm in trouble with the word. Better known society, where you look, certainly when our husbands were away, the wives were well treated, were looked after, and it was a mutual help kind of life. I loved it.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to sit down with me. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome.